fast and prayer is about. It is about seeking God and seeking His presence and crying out to Him and letting Him know how much we love Him and we want Him. We want more of Him. We want His presence to manifest in our lives. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
We want to be more like Jesus. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I want to be more like Jesus. And because we want to be more like Jesus, we're willing to launch out into the deep. Amen? We're willing to launch out into those deep waters. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for the message today and what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. We thank You, Lord, that You teach us today, that Your Holy Spirit is here, that Your presence is here. And Lord, that You draw us closer to You and You teach us, Lord, from Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. We're launching out this morning and we're going to go to Luke chapter 5. If you need a message outline, would you raise your hand? There's a message outline inside of the river update and ushers have those if you need one. We are thankful for His presence today. We're thankful that Sue and Nick are here today. For those of you that might not have heard, Dave passed away this week. And so they've had quite a week this week. And they're here because they love Jesus. And He's the one that's giving them the peace and the strength to get through this. So we want you to know we love you and we're here for you. And Dave's memorial service is going to be this coming Saturday at noon here at the church. So if you can get out and be a part of that to support Sue and Nick. And she has two other sons, Danny and Adam. And so we want to keep that family in our prayer. Because in a sense, Sue is launching out into the deep. And the whole family is. Because Dave was just an awesome, awesome caregiver for his family. He was a great role model for how to take care of your wife and children. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. He was just a faithful, faithful caregiver. And so we honor his life, and we're going to do that on Saturday. And we know God has provision for this family. Amen?
Amen.
He knew this was coming. We were pretty surprised. But God doesn't have any surprises, does He? No. So we thank God that He's with her. And so keep praying for Sue. She's launching out into the deep, and so are we. Amen? All of us at some level, thank you, Octavia, are marching out. We're launching out into deep waters. So let's go to Luke chapter 5. And we're going to read through verse 11, and then we're going to talk about it. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. So it was as the multitude pressed about Him to hear the word of God that He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land, and He sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. We're on verse 4. When He had stopped speaking, He said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to Him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at Your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats. So they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. So we see in verse 1 that the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of the Lord. They wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. They didn't have sound systems like we have today, or a big screen to look at the scriptures on. They had to pay attention and listen. And when Jesus was teaching from the boat, I can just imagine his voice just rippling across the waters and carrying to the crowd that was pressing in because they were so hungry to hear what Jesus had to say. And you know, it's if you're pressing together, that means they were sitting really tight, right? Really close. Now, some cultures, that doesn't bother people. They get in real close and tight. And in other cultures, they have a distance that they want you to keep. And when we were downtown in the theater, when we started out, we had the praise team, basically. We used to call the praise team up to start praise and worship, and there were just a few people left in the congregation. And I used to tell them, one of these days, you're going to have to share your row. Because God will add to the church, and as a matter of fact, you're the fishers of men. You should be adding to your row every week or every month. And get out there and catch fish. And so as the church grew and we outgrew that space, we moved in here. And now we have the same situation. You have your choice of a seat, and you can just take up a whole row and just spread out so comfortably. But someday, that will not be the case. Somebody say amen. Amen, amen. When Jesus was teaching from the boat, Peter was listening to him. I'm sure he listened to the words that he taught. And Jesus gave Peter two instructions. The first one was to launch out into the deep. And the second one was to let down your nets for a catch. And Simon was tired because he had fished all night. And it was day, and the fish were not in deep waters. And so it was going completely contrary to what a skilled fisherman would do. But Peter listened, and he obeyed. And his miracle was in obedience to the word of the Lord. Our provision is in our obedience. God does not reward disobedience, but he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And that's what we're all about, diligently seeking the Lord. When we wake up in the morning, it's because God allowed us to wake up. Dave woke up in the morning, and then he went back to sleep for eternity. He woke up someplace else, but not on this planet. In God, we live, we move, and we have our being. It is God who sustains us and gives us our life. And so our provision, our miracle provision, is in obeying the word of the Lord. And did you notice that Jesus didn't pamper him? He didn't say, oh, you worked all night, honey? Well, that's okay. You just go ahead and sleep. And I noticed that Jesus didn't jump up and do the work for him either. But his presence was with him in that boat. And God's presence is always with us. Even though Americans are, we like our comforts. And we have been trained to sit back and just enjoy the entertainment. That has been a mind programming that has taken place in America, because it didn't used to be that way. Come on, some people that know what I'm talking about, it didn't used to be that way. We used to have to get up and change the TV channel. Amen. And you had to be in the same room as the television was in to be able to see it and watch it. Three channels. That's right. So we just like all of our conveniences. You know, I heard an advertisement on some kind of blinds for your house, and the guy says, "Honey, I hit the remote and the blinds went up." He thought he was turning on the TV and their blinds changed position. I'm like, "You're kidding. Now we have remotes for our blinds and we don't even have to get up to adjust those." Oh, could somebody find an easier way to do things? It seems like we're always, come on, we must admit this, we're always looking for an easy way out or an easy fix, something to make life easier. Well, these guys had fished all night, and the Lord knew that they had put forth a great effort, but they hadn't caught any fish, not a one. And then he's asking them to do something that's contrary to what they're used to doing. Oh, don't ask anyone to do something different than what they're used to doing. Don't mess up somebody's routine. Anybody here like that? Don't mess up my routine. You've got to wonder what was going through Simon's mind, all the thoughts that were going through his head when Jesus was telling him these things. Peter's miracle came at an inconvenient time. When you least expect it, God shows up. Peter inconvenienced himself, and the miracle came. I'm not saying that's a set formula, inconvenience yourself and your miracle's going to happen. I'm not saying that, okay? We're not making a doctrine out of this. I'm just pointing out in the scripture, the guys were tired. This isn't the way they've always done it, but we'll do it. So verse 6 says, when they had done this, they caught more than they could handle, and the nets were about to break. But they didn't break, and the provision was more than enough. And then it goes on in verse 7, and it says they signaled their partners. You know, it's a good thing to have partners. It's good to have teams. It's good to have help. It's good to know people who know how to do what you do. Is that right? It wasn't some novice that they signaled for to come help them pull in the nets. It was someone that they had been working with. And so they all reaped the benefit of their obedience. They were willing to launch out into the deep waters. And sometimes it just takes one person in a family to be willing to launch out. Sometimes it just takes one man or woman on the job to share the gospel, to reach out, to launch out. Or just one child in school. Or just one leader in a church to have the faith to launch out. Verse 8 says, when Simon Peter saw it, the miracle, he fell at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. This whole process really humbled Peter. And I'm wondering, since Peter was a pretty spontaneous guy, and it seems like he's the one that got in trouble the most for sharing things out loud that he shouldn't say out loud, you have to wonder if he didn't have all of these rebuttals going on in his mind, and he knew Jesus could read his thoughts, and he's like, oh, I better get on my knees, because he knows, I didn't say it, but he knows exactly what I was thinking. So he humbled himself. He didn't boast about himself. Look what I did. Look how great I was. He didn't take any credit for it. And that's a key for us to remember. There is no power in ourselves apart from Jesus Christ. No power in ourselves apart from Jesus Christ. So God is calling us to launch out into the deep waters. Just like he asked his disciples that day, which he was making disciples. They were learning about who Jesus was. Let's read the last part. Verse 9 says, everyone was astonished at the catch. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and they followed him. They left everything they had to follow Jesus. To launch out into the deep. They didn't know exactly what they were going to be doing. If they had all the details, they wouldn't have probably signed up for the job. If you've studied the lives of the apostles, it wasn't an easy life. And even though our life might not be comfortable or easy, as long as we are launching out where God has asked us to walk, God is with us. He's with us, isn't he, Janice? She's been launching out in the deep for about a year, a little over a year since James passed. Two. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Learning how to live in deep waters. That's right. Learning how to function in deep waters. Even if you don't know how to swim. We used to have a swimming pool, and it was a good-sized pool, and we had a stairs that went down into the shallow end, and then we had a deep end where you could dive and a slide and all of that, and people would bring their kids over, and the little ones, you know, they always... Have you ever had a child cling to you in the water? I mean, they just really hang on. And there was one child, and we're in the shallow end, you know, and the child is hanging on to me, and I start moving towards the deep end, and they're like, no, no, don't take me in the deep water. It's over my head. That's what they said. And I told them, I said, if I put you down right now, the water you're in is over your head. So the water we're in right now, folks, we're in over our head. Tell somebody, you're already in over your head. We've said that for a long time. We're in over our head. But that's because God launches us out into the deep. And we've got to tread water there. And we have to totally depend upon his help in that deep water. You know, if we keep doing what we're used to doing, then we're not challenged at all to grow. I wanted to read a quote to you. Ronald Osborne is his name. He said, "Undertake something difficult. It will do you good. Unless you try something beyond what you have already mastered, you'll never grow." And this definitely applies to what Jesus was saying to his disciples. He was telling them, "I'm going to put a demand on your gifts in this season, but you're not going to be catching fish, you're going to be catching people. And the bait you're going to use is the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God." And you know, Jesus went with them. When the miracle happened in the boat, it's because Jesus' presence was with Peter. He had sat in that boat, but nothing came to the boat. But with Jesus' presence in the boat, all these fish came to the boat. The presence of God makes all the difference in your life. The presence of God makes all the difference in our church. Without the presence of God, we are nothing. And even though all of us sitting here have made mistakes, and even though we have failed in many ways, John Maxwell says this, "God uses people who make mistakes and fail because there aren't any other kind around." We're as good as it gets, okay? So he is going to use us if we will, by faith, launch out. When you decide God's way will be your way, immediately you begin to walk. You stop worrying about whether you fail or not. You just launch out by faith. By faith. The just shall live by faith. Thank you, Lord. So God is wanting to launch the church out into the deep. And as I was praying, I heard the Spirit of the Lord say that he will deliver us from our fears. You know, he said to Simon Peter, "Do not be afraid." And that is what the Lord is saying to the church this morning. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Miracles come when you obey the word of the Lord. We don't look at circumstances. We don't go by our feelings. But we go by the promises of God. If we began to look at anything else, we began to get into our flesh. And when we get in our flesh is when we really get into trouble. Bishop Hammond was teaching down at Apostle Leon's on Friday night, and he said, "Every work of the flesh has a demon working behind it." We must recognize when we give in to something less than what God has planned for us, the devil will give us help. And his help will lead us to destruction. And it's when we began to look with our eyes and reason, "Well, that can't be. Well, look at that. That never came to pass," or "That never happened." God says, launch out into the deep. Don't be afraid. When his presence is with us, we are successful. Because God provides Apostle Ron Rayon was here on a Friday night, and he taught on the provision of God. And he raised his hand, and he rubbed his fingers together, and he says, there's more where that came from. God provides. He opens up the windows of heaven when you're in covenant with Him and pours out a blessing we cannot contain. He's calling us out into deep waters. He's calling us out on the ocean. And as we play this next song, I just want you to sit in God's presence. Think about what God is calling. What is He saying to you today?